The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
So this year, Erev Pesach Chal Liyos B'Shabbos. This is something that doesn't happen very often. Last time it was Tovshin Samaches 13 years ago. And before that it was 16 years ago. And so many people, individuals and Rabbonim, turned to me. What are my psokim? What are my opinions? My rulings? The various questions that arise. Erev Pesach Shechalis B'Shabbos. So this week, instead of talking about Lamdas and Pilpul, we will focus more on the halachic aspects of Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. So the nature of today's show will be somewhat different than it is usually. So we will go in chronological order, starting Erev Shabbos and then Shabbos until we actually achieve and arrive to Chag HaMatzos. The first question is Tanis B'Chayrim. So we all know about Tanis B'Chayrim, a B'Chayrim Misanim, and this is a halacha that goes all the way back to Rishonim and to Divrei Chazal. You can't fast Erev Pesach when it's Shabbos. Shabbos is a mitzvah, avoiding Shabbos, quite Shabbos, Sholos Shudas. What do? So in Simchat Tofahim Beis and Shechan Aruch Siv Beis, there are two different opinions. The Maharil and the Tumas Hadeshim, the two great fathers of Menoge Ashkenaz, they both say Tanis B'Chayrim is Thursday. Sefer HaOgur says, Erev Pesach Shechalis B'Shabbos, there is no Tanis B'Chayrim. So Tanis B'Chayrim is not a real Tanis, Tkonas Nevi'im, or Divrei Soifrim. It is more of a minag, and therefore, Ein Mugdam Ve'ein Me'uchar. If Erev Pesach and Shabbos, there is no Tanis B'Chayrim. But in Shechan Aruch we learn, no, it is Thursday. The Me'iri and Sefer Mogen Avos. Mogen Avos is a fascinating Sefer than Me'iri. And he comes to defend Minhogai Avos. Minhogai Gedolei Tzorfas. Mogen Avos Emachov Gimel. The Me'iri says, Erev Pesach is B'Shabbos, we fast Friday. Friday is closer to Erev Pesach than Thursday. So why does the Maril say Thursday? Because Friday is also always a problematic fast. Do we fast into Shabbos, or we break the fast before Shabbos, and therefore, according to Tumas Edeshin Maril, Thursday. Me'iri, Friday. Sefer HaOgar, nothing. We don't fast anyway. What we do is we make a Siyam, and I say, Sofek Siyam L'Chumra. Make one Siyam Thursday, another Siyam Friday. Yirbu Siyumim Bi Yisrael. But Me'yikar Adin, it's Thursday and not Friday, even though the Me'iri's opinion is, we have it on Friday. In the new Sefer Minchas Osher on Corona, I gave a psak that one could participate in a siyum through Zoom or other technological means, even on the phone, and it could be yoitze a siyum. But that is shas adchak. I said that a year ago. This year, the restrictions are somewhat less, more lenient, especially in Eretz Yisrael. I think this year we could already be mishtata physically in a siyum. Keep your distance, wear your mask, but there no longer is a need to connect with Zoom or through the telephone. And the normal fashion of participating in a siyum is being there, seeing, feeling, hearing, and then you don't need to fast. Bi'ur chametz. That is Simen Tov Mem Daled, Siv Beis. Mevaran Chometz, Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, Ad Chatzos. That's in the Shulchan Aruch. Mishneh Berurah says, no, it doesn't mean Ad Chatzos, it means Tchilas Shor Shishis, because Shor is Derabbanon. Min HaTorah, it's only from Chatzos and on, that Chometz is also Bechil, also Banoah, but the Chachomim added on another hour. And that's Exeter, that's Arachokah. So why does the Shulchan Aruch say Ad Chatzos? Mishneh Berurah means, it means Tchilas Shor Shishis. But the Marsham learns the Shulchan Aruch as is. After all, it's a state Ad Chatzos. So the Marsham says, when Erev Pesach is Chal B'Shabbos, there is no Shor Shishis that are born because it's Exeter L'Exeter. Shoshishis is only midrabbanan. Chachamim were afraid people might confuse Shoshishis and Shoshvis. An hour before Chatzos, they might mistakenly think it's too early, it's already Chatzos. So that is why Chachamim were marchik, and they said Shoshishis is also. But when it's not even Erev Pesach, it's the day before Erev Pesach, it's a gzera legzera. But the Mishnah Berurah says, normal time, and that is our minig. We don't change anything. And Bia Chometz, this year is the same time as any other year, and the Poskim say, we are afraid that people might confuse. And next year they might remember, just a minute, last year we did Bia Chometz afternoon, so maybe we could do the same this year. No. And they won't be aware, they'll forget that last year was Erev Pesach Shchalias B'Shabbos. So Friday wasn't even Erev Pesach. Chometz was Mutar Ba'achila, Mutar Ba'anoa. And that is why our minig is Bia Chometz early in the morning like any other year. How about Mechiras Chometz? And this is a question which is more relevant to Rabbonim than to the layman, because people sign to give a harshoah to the Rav many days before Pesach. Some achroinim maintain Rabbonim's reason heim, Bia Chometz is upon every individual. And dealing with individuals, some of them might be great scholars. Some of them might not be aware. And next year, they will remember, last year, we burned the Chometz in the afternoon. Maybe we could do the same this year. But Rabbonim should know better. And Rabbonim know that this is Erev Pesach Shechaliyas B'Shabbos, it's different. So the Divrei Malki, Al Chelek Dalas Semachov Dalas, says, you could sell the Chometz Friday afternoon. But most other Achroinim say no. Kedin Biro Chometz, Kach Gam Mechiras Chometz. We should change nothing in what we do and when we do. No difference between this year and other years. And just like Biro Chometz is Bezmanoi, the same regarding Mechiras Chometz. So 200 years back, it was a major problem. Because in Eastern Europe, there were many Jews that had shops and they used to sell to Goyisha customers. They lived together in the thousand little towns in Hungary, in Poland, in Galicia, in Romania, and in all the little Jewish communities in Eastern Europe. Jews were innkeepers, and the inns used to sell beer primarily Friday afternoon and Friday night to the goyim. The Hasidim used to come Thursday on the way to the Rebbeim, and the goyim used to come Friday night. So it was a problem. You sell the chometz Friday morning, and how could you keep on serving your customers? So there were three different opinions. Chuvis Maram Shek, Or Chaim Simareish Hei, maybe Reish Dalet, he says, we sign the Shtar Mechir in the morning, but we stipulate the Mechir should be Chan in the afternoon. The Shoyer HaMeshev says, Chelek Vav Simenun, we sign the Shtar Mechir Friday, and we stipulate, we make it night, the Mechir should be Chal Shabbos, after we eat Suda Shabbos Chometz in the morning, Besav Zman Isur. But the Shoyer HaMeshev doesn't bring Rabbi Kivege. Tshuva says, Rabbi Kivege, Chelek Alef Simakuf Nun Tes, Rabbi Kivege says, there's an Isur to make a Kinyan Erev Shabbos, of the Kinyan is Chal and Shabbos. Rabbi Kivege is Mesupik. In my Tshuva, I brought it to Mefurish Tike Yerushalmi, and I wonder Rabbi Kivege doesn't quote the Yerushalmi. But Rabbi Kivege is Mesupik. Is there an Isser Asiyas Kinyan v'Shabbos? Does it depend on the actual performance of the Kinyan or the Chaloisa Kinyan? Shoyel HaMeshev Pshitalei, Chaloisa Kinyan v'Shabbos is not a problem. The Divrei Melkil says you can sell Chometz Friday afternoon because we should trust the Rabbonim that next year they won't confuse this year with another year. Rabbonim should be aware Erev Pesach Shechaliyas v'Shabbos is different. But their problem was the fact that after Zman Mechiras Chometz, Jewish shopkeepers still needed to serve their Goyisha customers. And they sold cake and they sold bread. And in the inns they served beer and they served whiskey and vodka and all that as Chometz. In our day and age, I think we just sell the Chometz in exactly the same way and fashion as we do any other year. No stipulations, no tanoim. We have approximately 10 shitrei mechira of Gedoil Yisrael. Chayodom, Nesivas HaMishpat, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I saw none of them that have an extra nusach Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shamas. And that goes back to their day and age. As I explained, we do find a discussion in the Achroinim. But in our days, what's the problem? There is no problem of Gezel Akim if we take a little bit of the Goy's Chometz. There is something I need to explain, and not everybody understands this. On one hand, Mechiras Chometz is a totally valid Mechira. And many people ask, what? Does the Goy want to eat the Chometz? Doesn't want to eat the Chometz. To the Goy, it's the best investment he could ever imagine. Do you know of any other investment in which you invest money and you make 100 or 200% profit in 1 week without any risk? So the Goy pays 200 shekel or $100 to buy the chometz. And he knows in advance that in a week's time, after 8 days, he comes back and we're going to buy back the chometz. And we're going to pay him for his $100, $200 or $300 or $400. And he's making 100, 200, 300% profit in a week. That's not a bad investment. So he has no intention of eating the chometz. When you invest in real estate in Hong Kong, in Japan, in who knows where, in Saskatchewan, do you intend to live in that house? No. It's an investment. You buy and you hope to sell with a profit. So would you care exactly what is the view from the living room window? Or exactly where the windows are situated? How many rooms are in the apartment? You couldn't care less. This is an investment. You're buying to sell. That's the same with a goy. He doesn't care if you'll take out a piece of chometz. Why would he care? To him, it's an investment. He buys in order to sell. And therefore, there is no problem of gezel akum. Many present-day gedolim say, if you sold the chometz, how could you eat mozen shtei sudois that we leave for our meal? How could you take from the goy's chometz? Oh, if you would ask the goy, he would laugh at you. He would say, well, if that's your custom, let it be. Why would I mind? Why would I care? So on one hand, we have to be very careful not to make a joke out of the mechira. I wrote a tshuva a few years ago regarding whiskey in the duty-free shops. So in Israel, all the shops sell chometz. But then, the duty-free shops are open chol hamoed. And if people buy whiskey, then what type of a mechira is this? You sold everything you have in the shop to a goy. But you're selling as you do all the other days of the year. If it isn't yours, how could you pocket the money? The whiskey isn't yours. You sold it to a goy. So how could you sell it to others and take that money for the store, for your business? I don't think the problem is gezel akum. The problem is turning the mechira into a chuka v'itlula, into a joke. And therefore I paskin, if that is the reality, if that is the case, that these duty-free shops continue to sell whatever they have, their products, to customers on chol hamoed, that would invalidate the mechira. So I don't know what the situation is today. Now everything, duty-free is locked down in the entire world anyway, but I'm not talking in normal years. But Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos, that happens once in 13 years, and all we're taking is a Kezayas Chometz for Sudas Leil Shabbos and a Kezayas Chometz in the morning, that does not invalidate the mechira. And therefore, I make no change in the shtar mechira. When I sell the chometz to my goy, I do tell him, just bal peh. I tell him, I want you to know that we're going to take some of the chometz Friday night and Shabbos in the morning. And that is lefnei mishuras hadin. Even that is not really necessarily from the halachic point of view. So, bi'a chometz bezmanoi, mechiretz chometz bezmanoi, and it's a normal mechira, and Tanis b'chodim I already explained. So the next problem we have is, how do we eat shalosh seudos? So on Psuchim Daf Yud Gimel we learn, Meshayer mozon shtei seudos. Why shtei seudos? You need to eat bread Leil Shabbos. You need to eat bread in the morning. How about seudos shlishis? So once again, we come back to Shulchan Aruch. Tov Mem Dalet. Shulchan Aruch says we eat matzah ashira. The Rambam says Menag Ashkenaz is not to eat matzah ashira, neither Pesach nor Erev Pesach. And therefore, Yoytze Shalashu this Shabbos afternoon with Bosa V'Dogam or Peres. Reish Tzadak Aleph. There are three or four different opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Some Rishonim maintain, just like Suda number one and Suda number two, you need to eat pas, you need to eat bread, Shalashudis as well. Others say, Shalashudis Yoytzu with Mezoinis. Others say wine. Others say even Bosa V'Dogam or Peres. B'Shas Adchak. We rely on the opinion that you could be Yoytze Shalashudis with wine and Peres. Mishneh Brura Tov Mem Dalet says, Bosa V'Dogam would be preferable. And I definitely agree, because Bosa V'Dogam has more semblance, it's more like a suda than fruit or nuts. So why is this the better option? Because suda shlishis, according to most of the poskim, you cannot be yoyis in the morning. It needs to be la'achar chatzos b'shas mincha. But the Mishneh Brura does bring another option, and that is splitting the suda in the morning in two. And many do that. They wash, eat fish, bench, take a break, wash again, eat meat, eat chont, whatever it is. I think option number one is the preferable option for a few reasons. Rav Poiskim, including the Shulchan Aruch, say the Zman of Shalashudas is only Shabbos afternoon, you're not Yotz in the morning. When you split the Sud in the morning, there also was somewhat of a problem of a brocha she'ein etzricho. However, the Mogen Avraham already quotes in Reish Tzadik Aleph the Rosh. The Rosh says, no, that is, I am noyeg keminig raboisai, erev Pesach shechalias b'Shabbos, we split the Sud to be Yotz Shalashudas. But it definitely seems to be a brocha shein etzricho. Chazonish, igrois chazonish, not a chazonish, but in the igrois, chelek alef semakuf peiches, the chazonish says, one should wait approximately a half hour between suda number one and suda number two. Half hour to wait would put us in a lot of pressure, because we don't have that much time. And as it's all 10 past 10 in the morning, this coming Shabbos, es sov zman achilas chometz. Even if you daven with the nates, it doesn't give you that much time, especially big families, when you have kids around the table. So you're going to wash and eat fish, and then take a break a half hour and come back again. That'll put you into a lot of pressure. Do you necessarily need a half hour? I don't think so. I think it's just the chumr l'ravcha de milsa. Dark echaim v'sholem is the minhogam of the mincha zaloz of the munkat sharov. And his minhag was kereva sho, approximately 15 minutes. The Mishneh Brura says, shohus mu'etes, sometime, a little time, he doesn't specify. The Mishneh Brura definitely doesn't seem to be a half hour or 15 minutes. The most important source is the Chemed Moshe, one of the Choshev Achroinim, and he says, kedei hiluch dalad ames. How long does it take to walk dalad ames? Second, 2 seconds, 2.5 seconds, I didn't measure. For an old man, it would take 2 seconds, 2.5, 3 seconds. And the Chabad Moshe says, Daladams. So this is somewhat confusing. And it seems to be somewhat of a brocha she'ein etzricha. But the bigger problem is, do we have enough time to do that? And therefore, I think the better option is, don't split the Suda. Shabbos afternoon, Peres, Yayin, Bosa V'Dogam, you could be Yoitza. Yoitze bishofi. So some people do split the suda and they eat, as above mentioned, Peres, Bosa V'dogam, Shabbos afternoon as well. But if you have any problem, you don't need to split the Suda. So what most people do, the meal is a totally Pesach Dika meal, preferably in disposable kelim. But the meal is a Pesach Dika meal. You just wash and a kebetza pass. You need a kebetza to say the Brucha Natilas Yadayim. So many people wash and they eat bread on the porch or in the backyard. Preferable if you could see the table where you're going to continue the meal. And then they dispose of the chametz. Either throw it away in a public trash can, not in a private one. You could flush it down the toilet. I don't think it's quite past to flush it down the toilet. But if there's no other way, you could do that as well. But you could just throw it away in a public trash bin, and that is considered bi'ur. That's considered hefker, and you have no problem. And then Shabbos in the morning, before Sav Zman, Achilles Chometz, you say Bitul Chometz. Bitul Chometz is not Friday, that is Shabbos. Shabbos in the morning, as you finished eating the last kezayis, you say the Nusach of Bitul Chometz. One of the big problems, I don't think it's a problem, but more of a halachic discussion is, if we eat a kezayis pas, and then we're so careful, there should be no bread on the table, and we even destroy and dispose of the bread before we actually eat the meal. Is the pas poito all the other macholim? In Kuf Ayin Zayin Siv Beis Shechan Och, we learn a halacha that if people took the pas off the table and they were mesiach das from pas, tzorech levorech al kol shara macholim lifneyem ula achareyem. And the Shechan Och writes, this halacha is not really relevant today because our minig is not to be mesiach das men hapas. Minhogei Seuda in days of yore was so different than what we know today. And sometimes their minig was, they ate bread and then they took the bread off the table and they had no intention of touching bread and they went on to other dishes, to other foodstuffs. And the Shechan Och says, in that case, Tzorech levorech al ha-macholim, and the pas is not poito. Is there any greater hesach hadas men ha-pas than erev Pesach shechalias b'shabes? We don't want to see bread. We don't want to smell bread. We want nothing to do. We don't even want a crumb in our house. We threw it down the toilet. We flushed it away. Is there any greater hesach hadas? So do we need to say a broch on all the other macholim? I say no. And my explanation is this. The reasoning, the rationale of that halacha is, if they no longer eat bread, that means they finish the main part of the meal. Ikar ha-seuda bo im ha-pas. And if they decided there will be no more bread, all the other dishes are like kinuach seudo. That is my understanding of the Bialocha Kufayin Zayin and the Chazonish Rochaim Simachov Zayin. So that is when they took the bread off the table just because they really finished the main course. But in our case, they didn't even start the Seuda. So how could we say it's no longer Ikara Seuda? They just ate a Kezayis Pas and
Kol Halashon.
And then they threw it away. How could we say, from now on it's Kinuach Suda? The entire Suda is Kinuach Suda. The entire Suda is dessert. That's ridiculous. So this is a technical Hesach Das. It doesn't prove that we finished the Ikar Suda. We didn't even start the Ikar Suda. And therefore, Pas Poteres is a Suda. To me, this Svora is so poshut and so fundamental. But some might think it's a big chiddush, and therefore I always prefer finding sources. Toisis Reb Yehuda HaChosid, which is a sefer our forefathers weren't aware of. Our generation was zeicher to the sefer. Toisis Reb Yehuda HaChosid, Brochus HaMemem Aleph. He asks a fascinating question. He doesn't speak about Erev Pesach Shechanias B'Shabbos, but Leila Seder. So Hillel, Hoyu Koirech Pesach Matzav Amorav Yerucham B'Yachad, and that is what we do by Koirech. But according to the Chachomim, we eat matzah lechud, morah lechud, and pesach lechud. Some Rishonim maintain that is preferable. And Chachom Amar Choylek on Hillel. So Rabbi Yehuda Chosid asks this. You ate Pesach, you ate Morah. You ate Matzah, you ate Morah. And then you're going to eat the Pesach. Because Pesach Nechel Abesof, Ena Pesach Nechel Erol Asoiva. You can't eat Matzah together with Pesach. Because you already ate Matzah. So Matzah is Rishus, and Rishus Mevatel Mitzvah. Kemovuah B'dav Kuftas Vovo Medalav B'Psochim. So when you eat the Pesach, you can't eat Matzah. After the Pesach, you definitely can't eat matzah because ein maftiren achara pesach afikoyman. So how is the matzah poiter as a pesach with a brocha? Why don't you need to make a berachas shahakal ala pesach? You can no longer eat matzah, not with the pesach nor after the pesach. And Rabbi Yehuda Chosid responds and answers exactly what I explained just a few moments ago. The reason we no longer eat matzah is not because we really don't have cheshek to eat matzah. It's just a halachic reasoning. And therefore, we cannot say it's no longer Ikara Suda. Ikara Suda is Pesach. The entire Suda is Korban Pesach. That's what it's all about. So even though technically we can no longer eat matzah, neither with the Pesach nor after the Pesach, the matzah still poiter as a Pesach. And it is the same with Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. Let me share with you a psak I gave 15 years ago, and I think it's a fascinating psak. So somebody came to me in the morning, he got up late, he missed the minyan. What should he do now? If he davens, then he will no longer be able to eat the Kazayas Chometz, it'll be after the Zman. Should he eat the Suda before davening? Or daven and he'll miss the Suda. He won't eat the first Suda with Pas. And my psak was daven and eat a kezayis matzah. But we all know that one cannot eat matzah. Tofayim beis in Shulchan Aruch. The sources are Yerushalmi. Samaches omud beis. Huachal matzah b'yerev Pesach kebol arisosoi bebeis chomiv. This aloch is not found in Bavli. Toysev Sid Psochem Tzadik Tes writes, Ein aloch kediva Yerushalmi, it's nowhere in the Bavli. But the Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, Tofayim Beis, bring this aloch. You don't eat matzah erev Pesach. So from the three options, I think this is the best one, because the Isser of Achilles matzah erev Pesach is a Isser Kal. If we are mevatel, achilles pas, sholesh seudis is a gemara Shabbos kifrit zayin, and Chazal learned it from the psukim. According to the Levush in Reish Tzadik Aleph, it's a chiyuv diurais. And there are other reshoinim and poiskim that maintain its minatoira. The Mishnah Brura brings in the beginning of Reish Tzadik Aleph, according to most poiskim, it's only a chiyuv derabonin, but it's still a din chomor. The Orcha Shulchan writes, Reish Tzadik Aleph, the beginning of the Siman, that it's Takonas Moshe Rabbeinu. So we don't want to be Mevatel the Mitzvah Sholesh Yudas. Only the third Suda, one could be Yoitzah, with Mezainis, with Peters, with Bosa V'Dogam, as I quoted before. First two Sudas, Lekuli Alma, Tzarich Pas. Option number two, to eat before the davening, that is also a drosha that Chazal learned from the Psukim, Al Toich Lo Al Adam. And according to some poiskim, that as well as an Issa Diurais. Huachal matzah b'yerev Pesach kabol arisosoi bebeis chamav. When we quote this mamar, it seems to be a big Issa, like Isurei Bia. Let me explain. It has nothing to do with bo arisosoi bebeis chamav. Chazal just want to bring that sometimes a mitzvah, if you perform it too early, is an aveda. Nesias Yishu is a great mitzvah, but in the proper time. Bo'al ha'resosa bebeis chomav is an aveda. You need to eat matzah, achatzei sakechomim, before the time is an aveda. The Ravyo, the Me'iri, Tshuvas Mariva Alsa Makuf Tzadigimel, write an interesting gremes. What is the similarity? What is the common denominator between Bola Resosa Bebeis Chomav and Oichel Matzah B'Yerev Pesach? There are Sheva Birchos Nisulin that you need to say before husband and wife come together. That's the Sheva Brochas that we say under the Chuppah, once again by Birchos HaMozin. There are 7 Brochas before eating Matzah. 3 Brochas and Kiddush. Birchos Agef and Kiddush Shechiyonu. Boyle Priyodomo ala Karpas is number 4. Netilis Yedayim number 5. Hamoitzi and Alachilas Matzah 6 and 7. Those are the Sheva Brochas before eating Matzah. Sheva Brochas for Chosan Kana, Sheva Brochas for Matzah. But what is the rationale? What is the Sisal all about? The Rambam Perek Vov Chometz Matzah writes there should be a heker. It should be obvious that you eat Matzah l'shei mitzvah. You didn't eat Matzah all day. The Meiri says, Kedei Sheyochel Matzah L'Tiyovoid. Sefer HaRokeach says, Iskish Matzah L'Pesach. Pesach is only benight Matzah as well. But it's obvious from these time and from these explanations, we're not dealing with an Issa Chomer. And therefore, if you got up late and you have 3 options, make the Suda before davening, daven and skip the Suda entirely, you won't have a Suda's pass. The preferable option would be wash, eat a kebetza matzah. I know that people will be shocked. So maybe that's an additional reason. Get up on time. Don't get up late. And if that is the result of my psak, yehi zeh schori. So we discussed various different questions and deliberations and halachic discussions regarding Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. And instead of dedicating the shiur to one sug as we usually do, I just touched me'inyan le'inyan various different questions that come up Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. And once again, instead of saying divrei drush, I just want to share a story with you, a story or two. So this year has been a very difficult year. And to many families, a tragic year they will never forget. I don't think any of us will forget this year. It was so different and so challenging. And last year's Seder to thousands of people was somewhat subdued and somewhat sad. We all were mishtadal to be happy. V'somachto b'chagecho. But so many people were alone, first time in their lives. They couldn't have their children over. And I know elderly people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, who were the first time in their lives were sitting alone at the Seder. Baruch Hashem, and that's all. The matzah is getting better by the day. We hope and pray and daven that we won't be in for unpleasant surprises with new mutations and different variants. I still demand that people be cautious. Wear your masks. Try to distance yourself somewhat. But we are coming back to normalcy. After skipping 2 big drushes, Shabbos HaGodol and Shabbos Shuvah, this past Shabbos, I said a Shabbos HaGodol drusha in my shul. People were wearing masks. But we are coming back to a certain level of normalcy, but I am aware that in many kehillahs in the world, things are not that good. And once again, people will be sitting alone at their Seder table. So let me tell you the story of what I think was the most tragic Seder and maybe the most inspiring Seder I ever heard of. And this is a story I heard of many times from my great father, Zecher Tzadik Levrucho, passed away 5 years ago. It was the Leil Seder in Mildorf, 1945, together with the Kloisenberg Rebbe, Moiri v'Rabbi HaTzadik HaKodesh LeDivrei Yatzev. So my father first met the Rebbe, second day Shavuos, 1944, in Auschwitz-Birkenau. I told that story many times. I would not tell it again today. Almost a year transpired. Pesach Tovshin Hay, 1945, they were in Mildorf, which was a Nazi camp. Suffolk extermination camp, Suffolk labor camp. It was horrible. 2 months before Pesach, the Rebbe was busy with matzahs and with the Seder. And he was constantly talking, we need to prepare a Seder. I will have matzahs b'ezras Hashem. People thought he's out of his mind. So most of people just laughed. Some were very annoyed. And some of his admirers were troubled. Moshe Leza Einhorn was a good Jew, and he was in the camp together with my father in the Kleiser Magarebi. And he was angry with the Rebbe, and he had told him, stop being crazy. Matzahs don't fall out of the skies. We won't have matzah. What are you talking about, matzahs? V'hatzadik b'shelo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't forsake us. Be'ezas Hashem, I'm confident we'll have matzahs and we'll make a seder. A miracle of miracles. Now 3 weeks before Pesach, there was an Allied bombing attack on a train station, a big center, a train hub, close to the camp. And the entire station and some trains were totally destroyed. The Jews were taken out to clean away the debris, the rubble off the tracks that the Nazi train should be able to move and bring supplies and bring Chas v'Shalom Jews to extermination camps. And when the Jews came out there, they realized that one of the train cars was full of grain, and tons of grain were everywhere. Every day when they made their way back to the barracks, they brought a few kernels of grain. It was Mesiras Nefesh. If they would be caught, they would be shot and killed immediately. But they weren't caught. Erev Pesach, they took some racks, crushed those kernels. Unbelievable. B'mesiras nefesh, they had Erev Pesach matzahs. You know what Erev Pesach matzahs mean to Hasidim. And my father, many times, B'leila Seder spoke about that story, and he used to say, this was the size of the matzahs, like a little pancake. Because where did they do those matzahs? On bricks. So the matzahs needed to be very small. They made about 20 or 25 matzahs. Comes Leila Seder after a horrible day, like every other day, working 12 hours. They came back to the camp. Out of the hundreds of people in the barracks, about a minion sat around the Kloisa Magarebi. One person was standing next to the door, just as a lookout. If any guard is going to approach. 10 people, most of them were to be ultimately great Rabbonim, and I know their names, the Nirbatarov and the Vishavarov and some others. Many of them were to be Marbitzei Torah ultimately. And they sat around the Kloisa Magarebi, and the Kloisa Magarebi recited the entire Haggadah by heart. And his face was radiant. It glowed with some spiritual light. Loima almo hadein. And they said halal, and they ate matzah. And whenever I tell the story, I say, I doubt those matzahs would get a hechsher from the Eid HaCharedes. But I have no doubt that the Nachas Ruach, those matzahs caused in all the Olam HaZilyonim, Ad LeKisei HaKovod, was unprecedented and unparalleled. That was Mesiras Nefesh for a mitzvah of a tzaddik. And not only one tzaddik. They were all tzaddikim. They all put their life in jeopardy. And I always say, I try to think what went through their minds when they said halal. They were probably worse off than Avisenu b'Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, there was no systematic murder and annihilation like there was in Nazi Germany. We find in Midrashim that the Jews complained. Well, their complaints weren't met, but they complained. They spoke up. Nobody complained in the Nazi camps. The only response to your complaint would be a bullet in the head, an instant murder. So what did they think about when they said Hallel, I wonder? I don't know. But they were Dovek and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what? For everything. They thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they're Jews and they're the chosen people, believing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always loves us, even when we hurt. We cannot understand his ways. But I heard from my great Rebbe, the Kloizer Mager Rebbe, he is the Bala Maisa. He lost a wife and 11 children in Auschwitz, and I heard from him of Ein Rega Bechnishmahar Gevein Achrei Midoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I never doubted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment for one second. I shuddered when I heard those words, and I shudder every time I think of them. Yes, that was an exception. That was a giant. But those were some Poshut Eden as well. That is Mesiras Nefesh. And let me tell you another story about the Kloizer Mager Rebbe from that very same Pesach. Throughout the summer, throughout the winter, the Kloizer Mager Rebbe was worried about Chometz and Pesach. And he said, I will not touch Achshash Chometz and Pesach. And he collected potato peels and little pieces of potato that they happened to put their hands on here and there, the Jews that worked in the kitchen. And he collected those little peels and he hid them in the barracks between the cracks and the wooden cracks where they slept. And he was confident that he has enough potato to sustain him through Pesach. 2 weeks before Pesach, suddenly, the Nazis, for some reason, decided cleaning project. All the Jews were chased out of the barracks, and the cleaners came in. By the time the Rebbe got back, nothing was left of all the potato peels that he collected for months. But he still was confident, I will not eat chametz. Once again, in the most miraculous way. So in Eastern Europe, there was no refrigeration in the little towns and hamlets. And the goyim used to bury potatoes at the end of the summer in the earth. And in Poland and in Eastern Europe, it was very cold. So the potatoes were preserved, buried in the earth. And then at the beginning of the spring and summer, they used to dig them out. For some reason, the Nazis sent a dispatch of Jews, there were 12 Jews, to some town right next to the camp to help the Goyim undig those potatoes. And once again, the Rebbe and some of his men managed to smuggle a potato or two in every day. And that is what the Kloizer Mager Rebbe, the Divrei Atzev, ate on Pesach. I am always moved to tears telling the stories. How a giant, how a tzaddik, was so devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Gehenim on earth, in the most horrific situations, never did he falter in his emunah, in his betochen, in his love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is such an inspiration. And that's a story my father used to tell many times at the Seder. So Minchas Osher Chelek Gimel Moedim, I brought the Keren HaDavid. The Keren HaDavid was one of the great Hungarian Gedolim, and he writes that B'Leila Seder, a person should reflect and speak about his own personal nisim as well. And I disagreed. I wrote, Mitzvah Sasei Shal Torah L'Saper B'Nisim V'Nefloi Shenasu L'Aviseinu B'Mitzayim. Sipi Yetzias Mitzayim is about the miracles of Yetzias Mitzayim and nothing else. What does your personal story have to do with Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim? That is what I argued in Minchas Osher. However, if your own personal travails will help your children understand the essence of galus, of slavery, of torture, of tzar, and to have them better understand what it is to be in galus, then it's definitely part of the mitzvah. The Rambam writes in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, Lefi Dati Shel Ben Oviv Mesaper, Hoyu Ben Kotnoi Tipish, Oyim Alo Yove, Vavod Ameinu Ke'eved Hazeh, Kishifchazu. So we try to have our children understand the essence of pain, of suffering, of goddess, of slavery. So we point to the Eved, we point to the Shifcha, to have them really appreciate what redemption is about. So our children and we ourselves, we grow up in open and free societies, we have basic rights. We don't really know what it is to be tortured and persecuted and denied the most fundamental human rights and human existence. So yes, telling stories like this, on one hand, let us understand, try to imagine what Golos Mitzrayim was about. And that is the mitzvah. Try to make it personal. And it also gives us inspiration to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to follow in the footsteps, to walk with giants and follow in their footsteps, to learn from their Mesiras Nefesh in the most awful situations, how they rose to the challenge, and we should learn from them. So we should all have a beautiful Yom Tov. Kodesh Baruch Hu should take this pandemic away, and we should be able to sit together. Avois, Ebonim, Lamante, Sapa, Biazna, Bincho, Uven, Vincho, Es Asher, Es Elalti, Bemitzrayim, Es Asoisei, Asher, Samtivam. Have a beautiful Pesach, an uplifting Yom Tov. Chag, Kosher, V'Sameach. And we should be Zorcha, Bekoro, B'Yameinu. כי המצאיסכם מארץ מצרים, ערנו נפלויס בבניין ביס המקדוש, ושם נוכל מן הזבוכים ומן הפסוכים שיגיע דומם על קיר מזבחך. We have a beautiful Yom Tov, חג כושר ושמח.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.